Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development discussion series featuring candid conversations with business leaders and innovators across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts on how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and talented workforces in the nation. And now, your host, Ed Clemente.
Hello, I'm your host, Ed Clemente, and welcome to the show. We're fortunate today to have Sinyu Wu. She's the Director of Visiting International Professional Program at MSU. It's a lot of words. Welcome to the show first.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I'm excited you're on. And what do you tell people kind of what you do in the quick speech first? You know, what do you tell people?
Yeah, so it is a very mouthful, a long title, VIPP, but essentially we are a very special education unit within MSU. We are focusing on non-degree professional capacity development for international visiting scholars, students, and the professionals of all walks of life. So for more than 30 years, we leverage MSU's academic resources, as well as some of the very unique resources the state of Michigan offer to design and deliver professional training and exchange programs for our international talents, for international audiences. So I see VIPP as a bridge that we connect our visitors to knowledge, ideas, cultures, and opportunities, also to the people of Michigan. We also like to see ourselves as a window through which our international partners, including foreign government agencies, universities, private businesses, individuals, they can see and enjoy Michigan, the beauty of Michigan, the friendly people, the diverse cultures, and vibrant businesses. So we want to help people to connect with Michigan, become not just to improve their professional skills, but also become a Michigander. So when they go back, they are our graduates, they are our ambassadors. So they take a piece of Michigan back to their home country.
Yeah, and you know, I, because I think you know this already, but I'm on a similar kind of organization down the Detroit area, Global Ties Detroit, which is more Southeast Michigan. But I find this to be organizations like yours and then Jody Michaels down in Kalamazoo to be one of the more hidden gems of the state, because in today's crazy geopolitical world, and you know, this is like some of the sanity that you see, because you find out people are just people and they have the same issues around the world. And, you know, do you find that same experience that it's always so much better for people to get to see each other in person?
Absolutely. Thanks for mentioning Jody in Kalamazoo and Marianne in Detroit. They are great colleagues, great friends. We work together collaboratively, hosting many international professionals and visitors throughout the years. And as you said, the people-to-people exchange is really the core of what we do. Michigan especially, I think, it's so important for us to have this kind of opportunity to expose our resources, our expertise, our opportunities to international organizations and individuals. Unlike some of the coastal states in the U.S., we're probably not having that kind of high profile. We don't have like a mega city in New York or Chicago even. So for us to be able to host visitors, providing them that opportunity to explore the states, either long-term, some of our program as long as 2 years, and some as short as 2 days. Doesn't matter long or short, we always try to put the right people, the right resources in front of our visitors so that they get really the right information, the right idea, the right opportunity so that they can explore either is working with us or improve, taking some of the best practices back home to improve their own business practice. A lot of our participants, they are leaders of their organization. They are experts themselves. We also learn from them. So it's really a mutual exchange. They take best idea, best practice back home. They explore opportunities to work with us. Because they are leaders, they make decisions, business decisions. They influence policy. So that is really very powerful. When they, on a day-to-day basis, they work on a certain issue, they always remember, okay, this is what we learned in Michigan. This is some of the ideas we got from Michigan, or sometimes it's bad. We're very, very honest, I would say, in programming. We do take them to see some of the case studies not successful. You know, there are things that we didn't get right, either it's policy or science, and that's also fine. So we're very open. We expose them to all sorts of experience, and that's really just authentic experience, and that really stay very long. The other piece on people-to-people exchange is really the long-term relationship. It's not possible sometimes within 2 days you would strike a business deal. They would come to invest or they would do whatever. It's the kind of that first impression we want to get in and very deep, and we want to make it clear that this is a long-term relationship, friendship we are looking after. We want to keep that connection going. So even when our participants, our visitors go back home, we connect virtually. And right now it's not that difficult, right? So we continue with that virtual connection, sharing information, helping them to connect to the right resources in Michigan if they cannot manage when they are here in town. So that people-to-people exchange is super important, especially for us in Michigan, in the Midwest.
So can you just give a few highlights of some of the countries that you've had in, recently? Or I don't know how long you've even been at this job. So
I've been here for 8 years, really very privileged to lead a very diverse, vibrant team here in MSU. And in just 2023, last year, we hosted more than 320 international scholars and leaders from more than 60 countries. And so that's, I think, is really a powerful program in terms of its short and long-term impact. Just one example, this is actually an ongoing project, but we were very fortunate to get selected by U.S. Department of Agriculture, Foreign Agricultural Service Agency to run a 2-year-long research capacity development program focusing on water for climate smart agriculture for South Asia. So we just hosted 8 research fellows from 6 South Asian countries, including India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Nepal. I think I'm forgetting one.
Bhutan? Was Bhutan in there or no?
No, it's not Bhutan.
That's all right.
So it's 8 really talented researchers stayed 3 months here in East Lansing on campus. Just left before Christmas. So during their fellowship, each is paired with a MSU faculty as their mentor for a water-focused project with the goal to improve food security for sustainable agriculture in their own community and in their own country. So throughout the fellowship in Michigan, they not only, spend time with mentor and faculty students here on campus in the lab, they also were connected with various organizations, including the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, which is one of our strongest ally here, and the Great Lakes Climate Change Institute, water processing companies in Ann Arbor, some even, you know, local wineries and farms. So this kind of exchange helped to develop South Asian countries' capacity in climate change adaptation, of course. But at the same time, those scholars are so well connected and integrated into the local community. They know, you know, their Sunday farmers market. They know their local concert bands. They know the museums. This is a longer term relationship, as I mentioned earlier, that we created. And next year, 2024, our MSU team going to visit the 8 fellows in their country and spending time in their community. So to even enhance that relationship. And the long-term goal is to foster further research collaboration that can potentially lead to solving some real problem in climate change.
You're listening to The Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders and innovators on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast or download The Michigan Opportunity through your preferred podcast platform.
Once again, our guest is Chinyu Wu. She's the director of Visiting International Professional Program at Michigan State University. And so, and that last point you just made, like, you have so many different unique programs. I'm a Michigan State graduate. And so, like I know we've had on this podcast, the FRIB, the Rare Isotope Beam Program, and we've had on the Dean of Engineering, and we've had on just different folks, you know, we've had the presidents of MSU on before too. So are you in all those programs? I know agriculture is a big one, obviously, for MSU, but do they also have meeting with engineers and things like that as well?
Absolutely. Programs? Yeah. So we're focusing on really a number of thematic areas. Agriculture, obviously, is a key one because MSU, that's our strongest area. But we also work in education. Working in civic engagement. We work in public health. We work with business, strategic leadership type of program, training program. With engineer, we have civil engineering, computer science type of program. So it's really diverse program, really to capture the expertise we have here on campus and throughout the states.
Yeah, I can just remember as a student, all those programs and like all my friends, they were doing so many interesting things, you know, and you were only like, you know, in your 20s or early 18, 19. And it was just fascinating how diverse that university is. You know, I know it's got some big programs, but it's also got some really unique, you know, individual programs. And, but I have a question for you though. So how did you get to this job? You've been there 8 years. What was your path to this position?
Yes, it's actually a long-winded road to get to where I am. I was born in Beijing, grew up in the city in the 80s, which is a really fascinating time. That's the beginning of the opening up in China with very rapid economic development. So there was so many, you know, ideas, concepts, hopes, and opportunities. That time in Beijing was just unbelievable. Right now, if I go back, still on a regular basis because my family, my parents are still in Beijing. I wouldn't even recognize the place. I would really have trouble navigating the city because it's just a completely different place. I grew up, my mom, I would say, is a typical tiger mom. yes, kind of forced, or should I say encouraged me to learn so many different things. So a lot of after school activity. I was attending a swimming school, a sports school for kids, and I was taking private violin tuition. So was really quite busy as a young kid, and so I determined I really need to run away. I need to escape. So I didn't stay in Beijing. I went to Wuhan for my undergrad study. So I did computer science, and then I secured a scholarship to go to the UK for my PhD. So I did actually PhD in computer science, applied computer science in the UK. Then I got into research. I was a faculty member for many years. Just really by chance, while I was working in London, I got involved in international higher education. And I thought, oh, this is really what I'm passionate about, what I want to do, really helping international students, scholars, working on international exchange partnership. So that's, kind of moved away from being an academia researcher to a higher education administrator and manager. And in 2015, my husband, you were asking earlier, who is a German engineer, got a fabulous opportunity to move to Detroit, working for one of the companies here. So I was really fortunate. This position was open, and here I am, 8 years later, just enjoying every day of my work. And feel bringing change to the program, bring change to the scholars and to their life. So just really feel fortunate to be where I am.
Yeah, I was actually in Beijing about 6 years ago, and I remember because everyone said, oh, go to the Hutongs, you know, they're so interesting. And there weren't many left. You know, we found some, but it's really developing, like you said.
Exactly. So I grew up in Hutong.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why don't you tell people what it is? Because they might not understand.
Yeah. So it's like a narrow alleyway with little houses. It's not high rise. It's typically just one floor. It's basically like a bungalow. We call it bungalow. Yeah. It's a little nice courtyard, but it's not as neat as you sometimes imagine or saw in movie, because overdevelopment used to be a courtyard supposed to be just one family living and end up three or four family sharing. So it's the condition was not that great, but super fun because you have the neighbor right to each other. So the neighbor kids, typically after dinner, those time in the 80s, there's not, TV was not widely available. I don't remember watching TV every night. It's really just in the street playing games, chasing each other, the old days, yes, that's the old days in Beijing. Yeah,
it reminded me of almost like a little village, like little villages in the middle of a big city.
Everyone is close to everyone. Everyone knows everyone. People helping each other. I remember there was a huge earthquake in I think the late 70s. I was just about to start school, so little girl, and we ended up staying in the street for almost a month because some of the houses were damaged. And that, to me, that was heaven because it's like a sleepover every day, 30 days. kids getting together, family all getting together. So it was super fun. I cannot imagine that happening again anymore.
Yeah. Once again, our guest is Xinyu Wu. She's the director of Visiting International Professional Program at MSU. So a couple questions, like what do you see? And then if you could, you can use examples for this, but as say the future trends that you see for like, you know, obviously the world's changing all the time, but international sort of exchanges like this, is it, do you see different patterns?
Absolutely. I think we all know, and like it or not, we are living in a world powered by AI right now, right? Information and knowledge is really readily available. And what does that mean to learning, including higher education? What does success look like for individuals and organizations in the next 5 years, 10 years? It's really fascinating time because I'm, you know, I'm working in higher education, so I'm just focusing on my field. I think there's three trends when it comes to higher education, including professional training program like mine. There's three trends. One is really the critical, creative, and the analytical thinking is going to be super important, more important than ever. The ability of acquiring new knowledge and then applying it for problem solving is going to be the key. It's going to be something that as education institution, educator to focus on. It's not just about transfer knowledge. It's really about creating that ability, helping our students, our participant to acquire that ability. So it's critical, creative, and analytical thinking. The second thing is about connectivity. So we are increasingly living in a virtual, super connected world. Right now, you know, you are, I don't know, sitting somewhere.
I'm in Detroit area.
You're in Detroit, yeah. I'm in East Lansing, so we are 100 miles apart. We really just one click, two click, we are connected. So we are really super connected, but in the virtual world. And the young kids, the young professionals, they living in this virtual world. Of course, we enjoy this convenience, the efficiency, and the flexibility. But that emotional and the personal connection, and the relationship that based on real understanding will actually determine one's success. And I think this is why this type of program, my program, is super important. We really bring people together. We talk about the people. To people's connection. And that connection is not just people like us. It's people very different, coming from different backgrounds, speaking different language, have different culture, different ideas, approaching issues very differently. How to connect with them with real meaning and develop that relationship and be able to work together. That's really the second trend in education. The last one is actually individuality, from where I can see, because most people like highly personalized experience now. They don't want to waste time on something that's not relevant. So this is something that we as education institution need to focus as a program, need to focus on how we can provide that individual personalized experience. So this will be the three things VIPP as a program going forward, very pay a lot of attention.
Yeah, you sort of, you actually answered one of my next questions anyway, so good job. But it was, you know, what advice would you give to somebody for career-wise? And you kind of explored that in at least two of those. And the last thing is because you've lived in Michigan now 8 years, what do you like best about living in Michigan?
One word, the space. I love the space coming because I, you know, I talked about how the Hutong was so crowded growing up in Beijing. And then I lived in the UK for 25 years and Europe space is also very precious. When I first come to Michigan, and I was just so impressed by the space. Everything is big. The parking space is huge. I don't need to worry about scratching my car or other people's car. I can park, you know, blindfolded, no issue. So the space really is something I really enjoy. And I think because of that space, it reflected in the Michiganders' character. People are open-minded, open to new idea. Readily to accept newcomers. So I was certainly made feel very acceptable, very welcome here, of course, on campus, but throughout the state. I just really love the place.
Well, you know, you're doing a great job there. I should mention our guest again, Xin Yu. She's the director of Visiting International Professional Program at Michigan State University. But also, I know everyone says you do a good job there and you're doing a lot of difference, I know, with the groups we've exchanged with, even with the Detroit ones. And if you ever need help with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, I'm sure you've probably called on us once in a while.
Absolutely. We have a number of speakers on a regular basis from MEDC. We also work with LEAP, That's the Lansing Area Economic Partnership. From their CEO to COO, they are our strongest ally. I mentioned some of the State Department, Lansing and East Lansing mayor's team, including the mayors themselves. They were our guest speakers on a regular basis, and they enjoy to be on campus interacting with our international students and scholars, so welcoming the visitor to their city. So we love to work with them. So the program success, you mentioned that we are very successful, and thank you for that. And I think the success really rely on our partners. I mentioned quite a few, and there are a lot of NGOs, local organizations, Allen Neighborhood, Crystal Ray, so RDC. We cannot do what we do without those strong support.
Well, thanks again, Xinyu. We also want to say Shishini.
Thank you.
I'll remember that in Ni Hao. So, but anyway, thanks again. Keep up the good work, and hopefully I'll meet you in person someday.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Join us next week, where our guest is going to be Danny Ellis. Danny is the CEO of SkySpecs. They inspect wind turbines on 6 different continents and are based here in Michigan.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Whether you're looking for small business resources, exploring an expansion or relocation, or seeking a world-class workforce, visit michiganbusiness.org to learn how you can make it in Michigan.